Good morning. I am prepared to lead us through the last chapter in our gift discernment series, and there might be a few amens out there, but we are finally wrapping this up. We had some timely interludes with the word that Brother Luke shared last week, and Brother Lauren was able to come and speak to us a few weeks ago, but we're here now and we're going to finish it up. So I am excited for what God has for us here this morning. Again, most of this material comes from Dan Ryland, and as we have unpacked it, he's gone through some things to look for that you have the gift, and some warnings, and some things, ways to use your gifts. And again, the same footprint is going to be used this morning as we look at how we use each of our individual gifts that God has given us. So if you can go ahead with this up front here and turn that on. And let me, you know what, can you turn that back off again? Sorry, I wasn't ready up here. Let me do this. My slideshow was running from the beginning during Sunday school. So now it's starting. Good, go ahead. Now we're ready. Okay, thank you. What do you do with this? Of course, when we get a present, we open it. That's what we do. But again, the present really isn't as useful just to open it. I mean, that's the first thing you do. You open it. But now, you open your gift. And again, as we're talking about our gifts, they are gifts from the Holy Spirit. And as we've learned through our study, the gifts are actually is the Holy Spirit. These gifts that you receive, it actually is the Holy Spirit, and it's how it's manifested in you. And all of these gifts that we've looked at are manifested in different ways for each of us individually. But when we receive a gift, we open it. And then what do we do with it? Well, we have to use it. Because again, a gift is no good just opened. Say, oh, look what I got. No. Now we get to use it. So there are seven good reasons to serve in a local church ministry. So the first reason is to be a good and responsible steward of your spiritual gift. Because again, a gift given is wonderful. A gift open is that's exciting. But a gift used is very practical. So now, you can follow along, so please turn to Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. I didn't put the verses, I wanted you to see them in your own Bible. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. The second reason of the seven good reasons to serve in a local church ministry is to express gratitude to God for what He has done for you. That's Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not works of yourselves, it is the gift of God, and not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And I think we all know verses 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. But remember, verse 10 follows next. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. It is through faith and grace. It's not by works, but brothers and sisters, it's for works. We receive these gifts for works. That's why God gives them to us. And the next point, it is to fulfill your part of the ministry partnership with your pastors. You see, pastors, leaders, congregation work together. And the diagram that Dan Ryland used, I liked. It was a coach and a team. And I connected with that. I liked that. I mean, I wouldn't be opposed if you call me a coach. That'd be cool. But an encourager, an equipper, somebody that has a game plan, that knows what's going on, that understands the field, that encourages the players to engage and compete in this world. And so I like that analogy. But as you understand your gifts, you are a part of a team here. And it is to accomplish a goal for us to reach heaven and bring others with us. Again, you can turn to Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Very familiar verses here, but it's good to read them again in your own Bible. The fourth reason is to participate in God's plan for church growth. He didn't give you your gifts just to sit on your hands, and we're going to talk about hands very soon. But he didn't give you the gifts that you have, the gifts of the Spirit, just to sit on them. There's specific reasons for that, and one of them here is to participate in church growth. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." This is the Great Commission. And this is what we are to use the gifts that God has given us for: to reach others, to reach out, to win the lost. The fifth reason is to expand the depth and dimension of your worship / giving to God. And this was interesting. I liked his points here. Did you see that? The part about worship / giving. You see, worship is giving. Have you ever thought of that before? Worship is giving, because what are you doing? You're giving thanks. You are giving praise. You are giving adoration. You are giving song. You're singing. You're giving of yourself to God. Worship is very much giving. And you notice that's when we take the offering here in New Covenant. It is a part of our worship. Our giving is a part of our worship. In the same way that gifts that we give each other and that God gives us is not always money, giving is not always just money. And so when we use and you use your gifts that God has given you, when you use them, it expands your ability to give to God. Because you're not just opening your wallet and giving him money. You're giving of what he gave to you. You're giving of your talents, of your gifts, of your energy, of the way that he made you. And it expands your ability to give to God. The next one is to unify and enhance the potential of the body of Christ. And the picture that God gave me for this little quote here, to unify and enhance the potential of the body of Christ, is spokes in a wheel. Christ is the hub, is the very center. And all of us, with the different gifts that he's given us, with hospitality, with teaching, with ministry, with giving, all of the different gifts that we've covered, with discernment, they are all spokes in a wheel going out from the center of the hub of Jesus Christ. And when we all work together and all of our spokes come out and connected to Christ and we all work together, then what happens? The rubber hits the road and we go somewhere. We make something happen when we work together. And all of your gifts are given. Now, we talked in our small group. I don't know if I mentioned that here. And we had a hypothesis, and I don't know that I can answer it, but it's a great question to think about. Does God gift each congregation in each of those gifts all the way through so that each congregation is holy and connected and together? I don't know. It's a great thought. Does God actually gift each body of believers with all of the spiritual gifts so that they work together in unity? It's a great thought. So we are, again, spokes in the wheel, and Christ is the hub. And the last reason you can find in 1 Peter 4:11 is to glorify God himself. And again, this is the last reason in the seven good reasons to serve in a local church ministry. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And now, we got through the good stuff. Whoops here, the common hindrances that prevent you from serving in ministry. These might not be as comfortable, but they are true. Your life is overcrowded with non-priorities. And this one, as we look at the common hindrances, I'm gonna equate these to your hands. And so this one keeps your hands doing too many other things, and your hands are too busy. This one keeps your hands moving too much. So this next slide is a direct quote from Dan Ryland, and it says, God will not give you more to do than he gives you the ability and time to do. If God has a plan for you, he is wise enough in his sovereign nature not to give you more to do than you have time, energy, effort, ability, and gifts to do. Therefore, if you are trying to fit more into your calendar than you actually have time for, then maybe you are attempting to do more, to do things God does not need you to do. Now, as I looked at that, I critiqued it. Now, this was a verbal quote. I'm sure he didn't have this written down, but I critiqued this a little. And I'm going to take away the "if God has a plan" and say that he does have a plan. And I'm going to take away the word "enough" and say that he is wise. And so as we read it this way, God will not give you more to do than he gives you the ability and time to do. God has a plan for you. He is wise in his sovereign nature not to give you more to do than you have time, energy, effort, ability, and gifts to do. Therefore, if you are trying to fit more into your calendar than you actually have time for, then maybe you're attempting to do things God does not need you to do. That's a tough one for some folks to swallow. The second one is you wrestle with unsolved personal problems. The first one kept your hands too busy, and this one makes you sit on your hands. You wrestle with unresolved. Circle the word, note the word. We're keying in on the word unresolved here because, sorry, but we all have problems. I have problems. All God's children here on earth have problems. The key is the unresolved part. Life is too short to carry around secret baggage. Please, please get help. And there's a lot of people here that want to help you. And if we can, if I can't personally help you, I know places, the other ministers know, your lay pastors, they can help. And if they can't, they will take you somewhere that can get you help. Because our desire for you is to shed the baggage that you carry around that prohibits you from ministering. If you have taken the spiritual test and you've gone through it and now you've listened to the sermons and you understand and you know what your spiritual gifts are, please don't let your unsolved problems stop you from ministering. Please don't let your own personal unresolved things, please don't let that make you sit on your hands. You're not using your gifts to your potential. The next one in the common hindrances is that you may be unaware or under-concerned about the needs of others. And this one keeps your hands folded. Is it unintentional awareness or is it downright self-centeredness? When you see needs and you choose to do nothing. The cry this morning is for you to become observant, become an observant servant. Please don't fold your arms in neglect of the many things and gifts that God has given you. The next one is fear to take a risk of something new or different, the unknown, feeling unqualified. And this one makes your hands attached to your chairs. I'm not going anywhere. Fear makes you hang on to your chair. And let me say that if this is you this morning, fearful, let me say that you're right where the devil wants you. Fear is his tool. Fear is the vice of the devil. Fear keeps you from being fruitful. Fear keeps you from being fruitful. Connect with that. Understand that. Grasp that. Fear is from the devil. The last one here, your last ministry experience was not a positive one. This one, stick your hands in your pockets. Your last ministry experience wasn't positive, and so I'm keeping my hands in my pockets. And I do think that this is a natural reaction. Our nature wants to protect ourselves from real or emotional pain. But in light of eternity, how does that sound? Let me hypothesize with you this morning. You're sitting on a bench in heaven, and you've been there a few thousand years already. And some guy comes up and sits down with you and says, "Hey, how you doing?" You say, "Good." And he says, "What did you do for the kingdom while you were on earth?" "Well, you know, I got burned. I was at New Covenant and somebody talked about me behind my back and I said, phooey." "Well, I mean, I made it to heaven. You know, I'm here. But I got burned, so I'm not, you know, I didn't do a whole lot." You think that's going to hold up in eternity? It's going to feel real shallow. No matter how you feel on earth, it's going to be very short compared to heaven. No matter how you feel on earth, it's going to be very short, brothers and sisters, compared to heaven. These are the common hindrances. Your life is overcrowded with non-priorities. You wrestle with unresolved personal problems. You may be unaware or unconcerned about the needs of others, fearful to take a risk with something new. And your last ministry experience was not a positive one. These are the common hindrances. And my heart goes out to you this morning. And I was heavy as I looked at this list and as I thought of the potential here in this place. What could be done when these things are erased is huge. So let me take a minute and pray for you this morning directly in regards to this list. Dear God, we come before you this morning with humble hearts, and help us to have open hands this morning. Help us not to hang on to our chairs. Help us not to keep our hands in our pockets. Help us not to have our hands folded across our chest, God. Give us open hands that we would be able to serve you. I pray that those here that are struggling with this list, that they would contact somebody to help them. If there's something on this list, God, that you're laying on a person's heart here, that help them to reach out to somebody. Help them to find help because, God, your desire is for them to be set free of this thing that holds them, that ties their hands from working for you. Dear God, I pray that they would sense your moving and your leading, that you would guide them to find someone to help them. I thank you for the way and the potential that you have in this place here. I pray that we would be renewed in our mind, renewed in our soul, that we would be free to worship you this morning through our giving of the very talents and gifts that you give us. Pray that we would be free to give them back to you for your honor. In Jesus' name, amen. And now we get to check out our motives. Motives that are improper as you use and express your gifts. Some of these are fairly self-explanatory. It's not a long list. The tendency to be a people pleaser, please let your focus be on God. Some of you have tremendous talents and gifts that God has given you. Please don't please people. If I can say that all in one sentence, please don't please people. Let your focus be on God alone. A tendency to be performance orientation. Are you driven by facts, figures, and numbers? Are you driven by the Spirit of Christ in you? The martyrdom syndrome. Are you hanging on to your ministry so tight that if it dies, you go with it? Ministry, brothers and sisters, is to be held like a fragile gift with open hands, with a gift that's not yours, with a gift that someone gave you, and it's for someone else. And I appreciate the brothers that I share with in this ministry. And I believe we all do hold our ministry in open hands. It is not something that we hang on to and latch on to. It is with open hands. And this is the way that God asked you all to serve with open hands. Don't hang on to your gift. Keep it open. Because guess what? When you hang on to your gift, there's no more room for anything else. And when your hands are open and your gift is out there for God, guess what? God's able to use it, to pour into it. Other people can put things there. And your gift can come and go. It's fluid. It's motion. The Spirit can lead it. But when you're hanging on tightly and it's a grasp, it's not healthy. And you're trying to control the Holy Spirit, the gift in you. Hold on to your ministry lightly, like it's a fragile gift. Improper motive is that there's nobody else. If I don't do it, it won't get done. And some of you might feel that way, but I'm here to tell you that's improper. And that's hard for you to hear, but it is. If you truly feel this way, that your ministry, if you don't do it, it's not going to happen. Let it go. Let it go. Pray and see what God does. If it's His ministry, God will provide for it. If it's His ministry, He will provide. And I saw Dave shaking his head. Thank you. He affirmed that. If it's God's ministry, God will provide for it. It does not have to be based solely on you. And don't let it be a way to escape your personal life. Now, there's five steps to a fulfilling ministry. And these are good ones. Invest yourself fully in the process of discovering and becoming active in ministry. If your ministry is your gifts and your talents, which it is, you must spend them in order to use them. Invest in God's kingdom by using the gifts that He gave you. Spend them. It reminds me of the parable of the talents and how many talents the person was given. He had to invest them, to double them, to triple them, to make them work. Invest yourself in your gifts. In order to be fulfilled, you must be responsible with your gift. Your gift can't be a ho-hum thing. You can't say, yeah, you know, I got the gift of teaching, but I didn't really have time to study this week. So, I mean, I just have the gift of teaching. Sorry, but that's not very responsible. You need to be responsible. You need to do what you say and say what you do. And especially in the gifts that God has given you as you intermingle with the world and as you have spiritual gifts that show up in your workplace, your life is a witness, especially those who have been gifted by God in ways that the world notices. And you need to be responsible for the gift that God gives you. You need to take your ministry seriously, but don't make the process too complicated. An application of your gift should not be difficult. It should be fulfilling. Maybe the process and going through the test, and maybe it was difficult discerning your gift through all of these sermons, but applying your gift should be simpler. It should be encouraging. It should be joyful. Do it. Go do it. If God's given you the gift of hospitality and you see that, invite people over for dinner. If God's given you the gift of giving, give. If God's given you the gift of discernment, follow the guidelines and discern. It's simple. Do it. That's how it works. The other thing is, it is okay to try different ministries. If you have gone through the list and you say, well, this is my top priority. This is, you know, this is what I do. Teaching. That's it. Nothing else. Well, that doesn't work very well. Try different ministries. Try different ministries. And it's okay to try some and move around to try to see where God plugs in, plugs you in at. The fifth one is very important. Confirmation from the body of believers is a vital component to your ministry. Confirmation from the body of believers. Because you may really feel that your gift is in the choir, but if it's not affirmed, and if you really think your gift is on the worship team and it's not affirmed, well, maybe you should look at that. Confirmation will come when you are working inside God's plan for you. Your brothers and sisters will confirm it in you. Now, the next step, 6 through 10 in the 5 steps of fulfilling ministry. That's supposed to be a joke, but steps 6 through 10 in the 5 steps of fulfilling ministry is your power comes from the Holy Spirit. This is the base, this is the beginning, this is the end. This is what it boils down to. The power you have comes from the Holy Spirit. Grasp that. Understand that. Know that. All your giftings and abilities come from the Holy Spirit and are powered by the Holy Spirit for the advancement of God's kingdom. That's what it boils down to. Your gift of hospitality is for the advancement of God's kingdom. Your gift of giving. Your gift of discernment. Your gift of teaching. Your gift of ministry. Your gift of craftsmanship. It's all for the advancement of God's kingdom. And we get to the bottom line. And the bottom line is, what is that? Oh, it's fruit. It's fruit and joy. Yes. The bottom line is fruit and joy. You see, fruit in your life without joy is drudgery. Think about that one. Fruit in your life without joy is drudgery. You see, if you're constantly producing, if you're constantly putting out, if you're constantly producing and producing and making fruit, and you have no joy, it becomes drudgery. It becomes work. And in the same way, joy in your life without fruit is just fluff. If all you are is joyful, and you're just joyful, you're just happy all the time, you're joyful, but you don't have any fruit to back it up, that's like the cream filling inside the donut, and that's it. You soon get sick of that cream filling. You can only have so much of that. Joy in your life without fruit is just fluff. Fruit and joy, joy and fruit together, it's like brownies and ice cream. They just go together. This next covenant signing, we will again be meeting individually. The ministry and their wives will meet individually with you as couples and as singles to do your covenant signing. It's going to be even more interactive this year. We've gone down through the covenant with you individually before. Now we're going to add an aspect to the covenant signing. We're going to ask you what your gift is. We're going to ask you what is your gift. And we're going to ask you, how are you using your gift here at New Covenant? We're going to ask you one-on-one, how are you using your gift? And we're going to ask you, what can we do? What are your suggestions? How can we help you use your gift? What's there? How can we expand your gift and your giftings here at New Covenant? How can we use your gifts more effective? So, and this was discerned way back when, last year, Brother Dave and his discernment and leadership, that we would teach on spiritual gifts, that we would expound upon it, that we would bring it to you, the congregation, and that we would, in as loving and gentle way as we can, desire to hold you accountable to gifts that God gives you. And we're doing that through covenant signing. And it's to be a joyous time. It's to be an exciting time. I'm looking forward to it, to find out again how we can encourage you and the gifts that you have and how we can use them here for the kingdom of God here at New Covenant. So again, what you do with this, you open it, and then you use it. That's the only way to get fulfillment from a gift, is to open it and to use it. And again, the question this morning, what are your gifts, which we will be asking you at covenant signing? So you can close this slideshow, you can shut that down, and you can turn in your Bibles to Romans 12. Romans 12 tells us what to do. You want to know what to do? This is it. Romans 12. Christianity in a short little nutshell, Romans 12. Follow along as I read. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, that everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, continuing steadfastly. Oh, I'm sorry, I skipped it. I lost my place. 11. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, giving to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. And do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. And if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. for in so doing you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And the good we just read. And if you need to this afternoon, read it again. It tells you what the good things are. And we are not to be overcome with evil, but we are to overcome evil with good. Amen. Let's pray. Dear God, we are humbled again by your love for us, by the way that you provide for us, by the way that you give us the gifts, by the way that you manifest your Holy Spirit in each of us. We are thankful. We are humble. Help us to keep our hands out of our pockets today. Help us to hold our ministry with open hands as a gift from you and as a gift for others. God, help us to use the many ways that you have blessed us with to grow your kingdom. God, you have given us all seeds. You have given us all talents. Help us to grow them for your honor and for your glory. Help us to cultivate our gifts. Help us to weed them out where it needs it. I pray that we would be faithful, that we would watch and care for our gifts, that they would grow, and that they would produce fruit a hundredfold, again, for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. The chorister may come, have a closing song.